Hello, everyone, and welcome back to For the World. We have an incredible interview for you today with Christina Gutierrez, an extreme E driver for Neo McLaren, also a rally legend. She is the first woman from Spain to finish Dakar and only the second woman to win it earlier this year. Before we dive into that conversation, you may have seen the news that Extreme E is in its last season, so we wanted to give you a bit of background on its transition to the hydrogen-based Extreme H. We've talked a little bit about this already, but we're going to give you more of a deep dive. But that's starting next season in 2025, so we'll go through a quick hydrogen 101 and then dive into Christina. But before we start, we have a little exciting announcement. So if you've been following For the World and you're interested in sustainability in motorsport, we will be doing a bi-weekly newsletter. So stay tuned for that. We'll be sourcing emails from you, but it'll come to your email, your inbox, and we'll send that out bi-weekly with everything that's going on in the sustainability and motorsport world. With that, I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, so Extreme E is in its fourth and final season, and as it prepares to transition to the hydrogen-based Extreme H next year for 2025, we thought we'd give you a little bit of context about that transition, like Tiggy said. So Extreme E had its first Desert X Prix in Saudi this past February. They have two race weekends in Sardinia, and then the first ever Extreme E US event will be in Phoenix in November. And the whole concept of Extreme E is they're basically going to the most remote places in the world and showcasing that you can do really incredible electric racing without leaving a footprint. So that's why they're going to all these extreme locations. And as a reminder, there's lots of familiar F1 faces involved in the championship. We have McLaren, of course, Carlos Sainz Sr., Carlos Sainz's dad, Nico Rosberg, Jenson Button, and then Lewis Hamilton previously had Team X44, but they will not be competing this year.
And a quick update on and what to expect for Extreme H. So it's the same format as Extreme E, but it's a different car, different technology, ultimately a different championship. If you want a reminder on Extreme E, we did a sort of what is Extreme E deep dive and interview with Alejandro Agag, who founded it. So check that out from last summer. But Extreme H had its first shakedown at the tail end of 2023. It's set to begin in 2025. So there is expected to be a hydrogen prototype coming to one of the extreme races towards the tail end of the calendar. So definitely look out for that. But let's talk briefly about the technology. Let's talk about hydrogen and why it's an interesting technology for motorsport, but also beyond. I think when most people think of hydrogen, they think of the Hindenburg disaster, which is when a giant German airship, which was filled with hydrogen gas, extremely flammable, obviously burst into an enormous fireball over New Jersey. This was in 1937. So using hydrogen now is much safer, especially to power mobility. And it's a hot topic in the climate world because of its potential as a source of sustainable fuel. So super interesting technology. We'll dive a little bit into that.
Hot topic, no pun intended. I like it. So it's critical to note that hydrogen is only as, quote, sustainable as the processes used to produce it, as is a lot of things in this whole sustainability conversation. So hydrogen tech isn't at the stage yet where it can be deployed at scale. And that's why Extreme H, sort of like testing out the limits and how this is actually going to function in practice, is going to be so important. Hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe, and it's the smallest element on the periodic scale, but it definitely takes significant effort to turn that tiny little molecule into something usable. And unlike fossil fuels and a lot of sources of renewable energy, like what we usually think of off the top of our heads, like wind and solar, and are the primary sources of energy, hydrogen fuel requires a lot of chemical processes to produce it. So it's not as easy as just saying, okay, we're going to use hydrogen, let's go. It's in great demand in the agricultural sector, in the semiconductor industries, and lots of other industries are gearing up for this potential shift in using hydrogen power as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so by switching the E, which electric in Extreme E, to H or hydrogen, you're essentially just changing the power source of the series, but that's complicated and a complex thing to do. So we've talked a little bit about green in the past, but green hydrogen fuel, which is hydrogen procured in a sustainable manner, and fuel cells, hydrogen fuel cells, are what's replacing the electricity and the batteries in the Odyssey cars as the main power source. So Symbio is the official hydrogen fuel cell provider of Extreme E/Extreme H. There will still be some other battery systems in there from Williams for a hybrid like hydrogen and battery electric system. Super, super interesting in terms of technology, in addition to a new chassis. But without getting into all the sort of electrical and chemical sciencey type stuff, with a hydrogen fuel cell, it works sort of like a battery. A catalyst is used to react hydrogen fuel and oxygen with some electrolytes, resulting in protons and electrons, and getting energy and power and water vapor on the other side of the reaction. There's no harmful CO2 or other byproducts like there would be with a combustion engine, so it's effectively a zero emissions solution, which is why it's so exciting. And the energy from that reaction goes into the circuit that's connected to your electric motor, which then turns the wheels. But the whole point here is that the hydrogen, very much like the electricity the series currently uses, that's powering the fuel cell, has to come from somewhere sustainable. And sourcing hydrogen is where things get a little tricky.
So currently, the most common and cost-effective way of sourcing hydrogen fuel is reforming. And it takes... And that kind of involves reacting methane sources like natural gas. So methane is a greenhouse gas that is a lot more potent than just CO2. So it takes reacting the methane sources like the natural gas with steam. And while this process also, or while this process produces hydrogen fuel, it also, like other fossil fuel combustions, does release significant amounts of carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. And the whole process requires a lot of dirty energy to get this process to take place at all. That is like this, the biggest catch-22 that is the biggest challenge right now. But with Extreme H, it'll be using green hydrogen, which is produced by splitting water into hydrogen and then oxygen, and then using renewable electricity from wind and solar energy, aka electrolysis, rather than the methane energy that I just talked about. So it's a much less energy intensive reforming process.
So before we transition to the interview, we wanted to introduce a new member of our For the World team for the summer, Fiona. Fiona is doing her master's in climate and society at Columbia, bringing her sustainability and motorsports expertise to the podcast this summer. So expect to see her, hear her voice on some upcoming episodes. But Fiona, we wanted to give a chance to introduce yourself. Welcome.
Thank y'all so much. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm also very equally excited to talk about hydrogen today because it's not something that the public gets to hear about very much. So it's a great opportunity.
Totally. So tell us from your perspective, why does a series driven by hydrogen matter?
So the technical director of Extreme E, Mark Crane, who's managing this hydrogen switch, talked about this in a recent interview, and I thought that he put it really well. Essentially, hydrogen regulations when it comes to mobility don't really exist because the tech is so new. So Extreme H is almost like a literal and metaphorical crash test of the whole concept, from the safety and sporting regulation standpoint all the way down to the durability and the lifespan of the fuels, the fuel cells themselves. And if you think about what happened with electric vehicles, consumers often have a lot of range anxiety, right? So this is essentially like trying to find a way to bring that range anxiety down. But especially when it comes to generating green hydrogen from renewable energy in some of the most remote and challenging racing environments on Earth, and testing the range of those fuel cells in those same environments, this to me is why it's particularly exciting. And then again, like coming down to the impact that I always want to say Formula E because to me, they're both doing such a great job when it comes
There's
to this
so
stuff.
Many. Yeah.
I know. But Extreme E, from an equity standpoint, testing this tech has a lot of potential because hydrogen fuel cells could be a really amazing lifeline for lots of energy poor communities, just because hydrogen fuel is extremely energy dense, meaning that it has a lot of energy per unit mass, so it can last long and power lots of stuff. Plus, if you can make water using wind and solar energy, say, in the desert, that's a really accessible fuel source. And finally, like, the hope is that sustainable tech, like so many other innovations in motorsport, will end up en masse in road cars, right? So getting consumers excited about hydrogen's potential and also its safety in the hydro green generation piece is critical.
Totally. I think that's all so well said. And it's going to be interesting to follow how this works. I think sometimes there are people who are more skeptical about, oh, can motorsport series really change the tech or really be a good proving ground for these sorts of things? But I think we have seen those use cases in the past. And I think especially with something like hydrogen, from a mobility standpoint, like, who else really is doing this?
Yeah. And there's a lot of debate in the energy space right now, like with electric vehicles, about what the inflection point for hydrogen is going to be. For example, Toyota right now is really the brand that's put its bets on hydrogen fuel cell tech in its cars. But, you know, the thing comes down to once consumers can really get their hands on this tech, which might happen at the same time that the series is in full swing, it's really critical that they ask the question, where's my hydrogen coming from? What energy is going into its production? Because not all hydrogen is created equal. So having the series really be a leader in creating the green hydrogen that's needed to power these cars and also being very vocal about where it's coming from is something that we should really look out for.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And Extreme E, and I'm sure Extreme H will do the same thing, but they're so good about like the educational aspect of it and showing their communities what they're doing, anyone who's watching. So a lot of exciting things to come.
Yeah, I think we're going to need a part two in 2025 when this kicks off, and we'll hopefully have more information.
Well, thank you, Fiona. And with that, let's head on over to our conversation with Christina.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Spring is over, and it's not too late to get yourself an iconic pair of Tecovas cowboy boots before the summer. They are the coolest addition to any outfit and add such a fun flair to literally anything that you're wearing. And with every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, which means that you don't have to break them in. You can just wear them right away. It's truly amazing. And of course, the timeless Western style that is so unique to Tecovas. The boots are made from premium bovine and exotic leathers and can truly last you your entire lifetime. So head on over to your local store. It's the best way to shop. Grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop all of the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or any of their other leather goods. Tecovas also has beautiful classic straw hats and a gorgeous lineup of rugged and full grain leather bags. And if you can't make it to a store, don't worry, you can shop online. Just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Don't go gently, y'all.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to For the World. We are here with Christina Gutierrez, an Extreme E driver for Neo McLaren and an off-road racing legend, having recently been crowned the overall Dakar Rally Champion in the Challenger category, only the second woman to achieve that. And speaking of Dakar, in your rally debut, you were the first woman from Spain to finish that race. So incredible, incredible accomplishments. And you've been racing in Extreme E since its debut season. So congrats already on scoring a podium on your very first race with the team this year, off to an incredible start. How has the year been so far for you, and how are you feeling?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. It's a pleasure. And for sure, it's been a life completely with a lot of races and a lot of competitions. And I'm very happy to leave all the things that you mentioned before, because it's for example, to be a part of Neo McLaren in Extreme E is one of the best things that happened in my career, because it's one historic team in all championships. So for me, it was an amazing moment. And also this year with the win in Dakar, it was super amazing. So yeah, a pleasure to be here with you and explain a little bit my little life.
Well, we're so excited. And actually, let's rewind a little bit and talk about how you got started. We heard it was a passion of your father's, or motorsport was a passion of your father's, and that's how you got into it.
Yeah. When I was 4 years old, more or less, super young, my father loves the motorsport, but he couldn't race. He couldn't take an engine, a competition race car. So I think he loved to see his daughter doing the things that he couldn't. So from the beginning, I was asking all the time to my father, can I go to the motorbike? Can I go to the car? Because my big brother has a little motorbike in my home. So I always speak with my father, please, can I take the motorbike? And I was very, very little. So thanks to my father to give me the opportunity to try from 4 years old, because sometimes I think about it and I said, maybe I am not going to do the same with my future daughters.
Yeah.
Because you think that it's very little, but for sure, if someone of my daughters or my sons in the future are like me, for sure one of the best things is to make the dreams of your son come true, for example.
No, and look at how far it's taken you. That's incredible. What a sweet story. So let's talk a little bit about Extreme E. So you've driven in Extreme E since its debut. You've been a champion, so congrats on that. What made you make the switch to Extreme E? Did the mission-driven component attract you to the sport? What kind of caused you to go that path?
Well, I think when I knew about Extreme E, it was before Extreme E start. I knew that this championship is going to be like with something special. One of the things is because they mix the competition with two important for me things, that is the sustainability and the equality. Because in each race, normally we go to a race to places that they are affected by the climate change, and we make some different projects there in each region, in each country that we go. And also they mix the quality because each team needs to have one male driver and one female driver, and it's the same importance for the team, because the time is the time combined between the male and the female. So we can see in the championship that the girls are fighting, we are fighting with the boys at the same level, and this is super, super nice to see, because it's normally it's a sport dominated by males, and if some girl have the opportunity to see this type of championship, they can feel that they can do it and they can continue her dream. So it's good to have this type of championship now.
And are there any sort of legacy projects that you've been a part of that you're most excited or proud of?
Yeah, for sure. There is, the last one was one of the best ones, because we replant some corals in the sea, in Saudi Arabia, in the Red Sea. So we took a bottle of oxygen and we dive and we replant some corals.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and also I want to speak on this about McLaren, because also they have projects to restoring some zones in the Great Coral Barrier, and it's good to have these type of things and mix the sport, the competition, and also this type of beautiful projects, because if we don't know what happened in the outside, it's impossible to grow, no? So for me, it's very important to to share the team and to share moments with these type of values.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite things about Extreme E and that series is how mission-driven and these legacy projects are really focused on actually leaving an impact going forward, not just there on the race weekend, but as you leave and as you carry forward. What other things, if there are any, do you hope that other series can learn from Extreme E? I feel like it's set a great example on so many things with the male and female driver pairing, like you talked about, the legacy projects. Are there any other things that you feel like other series can take from Extreme E?
Yeah, I think they can learn all the things that they are different. No, for example, as I mentioned before, the quality, because not in all of sports you have the same opportunities than the male. So the most important thing is to have the same opportunities than the boys. No, in this type of world.
Yes.
No? So one of the best things is this, and of course, to try to fight with the climate change, going to race to this part of the world, to these cities, to these countries, is super nice. So if we can mix the sport and the problems of the real life, is super nice. And I hope that other races, other series can do it the same.
Yeah, definitely. And we always talk about this too, because it feels like, so we talk about Formula One a lot on our podcast, and F1 is such a huge thing if it's happening in like a city or a certain region, and it becomes such a part of that culture or that dialogue for like the 3 weeks leading up to it and then right after. But then, you know, maybe there isn't always a super long-term lasting impact. So that's a really nice thing that I feel like, I agree, F1 could definitely be another series from it. Okay, so you're from Spain and you grew up there. What is racing culture like? Is there like a good camaraderie amongst other drivers there as well?
Yeah, in Spain we are very passionate about everything, so we feel like when they have something to be focused on, for example, one driver, we are very like passionate, and we can feel that all the support that we have, because normally the motorsport world in Spain is like a little amount of people compared, for example, with the football, because football is the big thing in Spain. But when you met all the people that follow, for example, motorsport or 4x4, Dakar Rally, Extreme E, whatever, they push like hell to make you grow up and to give you the best support. So I feel very proud of my country for sure, and they are following me from the beginning, and this is so super nice.
Aww. Yeah, that's incredible. We love following all the Spanish drivers across all the series. It's so fun. So let's talk a little bit about McLaren. One of the cool things that we saw you just did, you were in Monaco and you got to drive one of Senna's historic cars, which is absolutely incredible. What was going through your mind as you did that? And yeah, what does it mean to be a part of McLaren more broadly?
It was amazing because in the beginning, I didn't know which car I am going to drive in the moment that I arrived. So when I arrived and they told me, okay, Chris, you are going to drive this car. And I said, okay, I don't know how to drive this car, because normally I drive 4x4 and rally ride. So first of all, explain me how to drive this, because it's a super historic piece and super, I hope, expensive thing. So I don't want to break anything, and I want to be super, super clean with the drive. So first of all, I heard with my ears everything to be clear. And after that, I start to go on the circuit, because always I follow the Monaco circuit from the from television. And when I go out from the pits, I was super surprised, because it's super different than the television. Normally, you cannot see the downs and ups. It's super difficult circuit. It's super narrow. You cannot see all the corners. And I was super, super excited, because it's one of the historic circuits in all the world. And also have the opportunity to drive Ayrton Senna's car, and also with his I think it's the nephew? No.
Yeah.
It's the nephew, I think, Bruno Senna.
Yeah.
So it was super, super special. Oh. Yeah. Because he was super grateful from everything he said, thanks, Christina, to make it possible. And I said, no, thanks to give me the possibility to drive this car. So it was super amazing. And I love to say thanks to Neo McLaren to make it possible, because it's not easy.
Yeah, that feels like a bucket list for any driver ever, I think.
Yeah, for sure. This is one of the things that you can do it if you are in McLaren, for example.
Yes, it definitely helps to be part of an amazing motorsport family like McLaren, for sure. So, speaking of motorsport and sort of other things and the larger family, so besides Extreme E, you are part of the Red Bull family. You have a lot of history in rally driving. And of course, like Tiggy mentioned at the beginning, you won your category in Dakar. So tell us about that, because I feel like the race is really unique. It's not what you would usually think of as a motorsport race. It's a very different category. So walk us through that for people who might not know what it is.
Well, Dakar Rally is a very special race. It's one of the hardest races in the world, because you race during 14, 15 days, depending on the year, and you spend more than 7 or 8 hours each day on the car. And each day you don't know what is going on, because the track is totally new for you. You have your co-driver, and your co-driver needs to navigate around the desert, in the middle of the desert. So you have all type of adventures, all type of things. For example, 1 year ago, we get into a river, supposedly a dry river, and suddenly we get stuck inside the river. And then a big wave came to me. We get with the water until the neck. It was super, super hard to live this type of thing. So Dakar is one race that you need to be like super open to live different type of things. So always I compare the Dakar with the life, because you can have good things, bad things. So you need to continue until the last moment, because you never know what is going on or what is going to happen. So you need to be super constant and not feel that you are losing something, because the next day you have a new opportunity to show your performance or that you can win.
Yeah. So essentially you're a champion at life, basically. That's incredible. Well, we want to talk a little bit about being a woman in motorsport and kind of your thoughts on the future of women in motorsport. There are a lot of different series doing different things, different pipelines. But during your time in the sport, I'm curious from your perspective, where you feel like maybe there's been some progress, what still needs improvement, how has your experience been as a woman?
Well, when I started, it was totally different than now. So we are in a good way, but for sure we need to do a lot of things. We need to progress a little bit more, because sometimes, not always, you can feel things that is not very nice to feel, because from the beginning you need to show, you need to demonstrate a lot to that, because the people, if you don't show your performance, the people don't trust in you. So you need to demonstrate like double to get into the people. I don't know if I am explaining okay.
No, that makes sense.
Sometimes you need to demonstrate double to get into a big competition, or to have the same opportunities, no? Always I try to fight for the same opportunities, just that. I don't want to have more opportunities or less. I want just the same opportunities. So for that, you need to be all the time fighting a little bit to try to avoid some commentaries and some things. But I think we are living a good moment now, because you can see each year more women are involved in motorsport and in different series. And we have the support and we have the opportunity to show that we can do the same than the men's, no? And the example is, for example, my Dakar, because we don't have a women's category. It's the same category. And we can win. Uh-huh. So this is one of the best things, that you can show our performance, and maybe your performance can can make that other girls came into the series or whatever.
Yeah.
That's so beautifully put. And I feel like it is, you articulated it so well, because people sometimes have a hard time. And this is like for women in motorsport in general, or and women in sports in general too. It's like you have, just to get the same opportunity, you have to work twice as hard or prove so much more.
Yeah.
So that's like a huge kudos to you and how much you've been able to accomplish with how challenging it
is. Yeah, I think it's the same than a normal work, that normally if it's a big, big work and you need to demonstrate double to show to the people that I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah. And you can. So what's next for you next year and beyond?
Well, the next is to continue to train for the next event in Extreme E. So if you have the opportunity to come to a race,
yeah,
are you invited? And also we are preparing the Dakar, because we pass to another category, a big one. So I am very happy to have the chance to continue driving, to continue growing up, and we'll see what happens in the future.
Well, we're so excited to follow along. So many exciting things coming up. So before we wrap, we always do a little bit of rapid fire. It'll be super easy, nothing too hard. But just to start, what's your favorite race location that you've ever raced in?
I think Greenland. The second season of Extreme was super nice.
Is there any race in your career that you'd like to relive and redrive?
Maybe a Formula One race, but I don't know if I am too old to do this.
No.
You're one day. Well, you did Monaco, so that's
maybe.
You're definitely not too old. We have Formula One drivers that are in their 40s, you know?
Okay.
So you're from Spain. What is your best hometown recommendation? That could be a restaurant, that could be a bar, a hike, anything, a park.
I think in Spain the best thing is the food. So
yeah,
whatever that you can eat there is going to be your best food in the world.
So just go to Spain and eat something and your life will be changed.
Just that. And go party a little bit.
Yeah.
And one thing that people might not know about you.
That I am a dentist. Maybe you know, but before I started,
we knew that.
So it's not very secret.
But for our listeners, tell our listeners about that, about how you are a dentist, but also a race car driver. It's incredible.
Well, because I start the competition at the same time that the university. So I never thought that I'm going to be a professional driver, because I knew that it's super difficult and it's like, it's my dream, but you never know, no? So I started at the same time the university. And when I was in the middle of the career, also I started win some championship, and I said, no, I can't stop the university. I need to finish and then we'll see, no? So we spend a lot of time traveling and trying to share both things. Sometimes it was not very easy, but finally I could, and we finished the studies, and I start working as a dentist and continue driving, and it was crazy life.
That's incredible. You can do it all, folks. Awesome. Well, Christina, thank you so much. This was so fun for us to get to know you a bit more, and we're wishing you luck in Scotland and beyond, and hopefully we'll catch you at one of these races.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. A pleasure, and hopefully we will speak again.
Yes.